Father, I pray that you enlighten our hearts and our minds now, that our faith and our trust in your goodness and love towards us might be increased, that we might love you more. In Christ's name, amen. Pretty much everyone who has hiked more than once or twice with me, or who has volunteered in our youth group, or has been in the youth group, knows that I am a big fan of the YouTube comedian and nature enthusiast, Lenny Pepperbottom. For those of you who don't already know who Lenny Pepperbottom is, he and his friend Rodney have a series of short, funny videos called Nature Walk. Lenny opens the first video of Nature Walk by explaining why they made the videos. He says, with a big smile on his face, "For me, nature is one of the neatest things on the planet. That's why Rodney and I started Nature Walk, because we want everyone to know how neat nature is, instead of just me and Rodney knowing it." And mostly all Lenny does throughout the rest of the whole series is walk around in the woods, pointing at things and saying, "That's pretty neat. How neat is that? Neat." When you heard Bree read from the gospel passage today about this woman healed from 12 years of a horrible bleeding issue, and the 12-year-old girl raised from the clutches of death, what were your initial thoughts? That's pretty neat. As I began preparation for this sermon, that was basically my initial reaction. When I shared with a couple of parishioners last weekend that I was preparing to preach on this passage, they both said something to the effect of, "Oh, I like that passage. It's a pretty neat passage." I think it's a pretty common reaction for this section of Mark. But what makes this passage so neat to us? First, I think it's because we really like save-the-day stories. And we get two-in-one here. Two-in-one save-the-day stories. Second, not only does Jesus save the day, he saves the day for two daughters. In a world that tended to treat women and girls like second- or third-class citizens, Jesus is always especially compassionate to them and all who are marginalized and poor. Did you know this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus calls somebody daughter? And he doesn't call Jairus' 12-year-old girl daughter, but the grown woman, who might have not been much younger than Jesus. And to the 12-year-old girl, Jairus' only daughter, Jesus' words were so impactful and tender, like a father or mother waking their beloved daughter, that Mark was compelled to record Jesus' words in Aramaic. "Talitha, kumi, little girl, wake up, arise." How tender, compassionate, and good is our Lord. Do you have faith in Jesus? If you do, it doesn't matter how old you are. You are a son or daughter of our gracious and good God. How neat is that? Lenny Pepperbottom doesn't do a good job of going deeper into his explanations of nature. At one point in his video, he stops at an aspen tree, pats it, and tells viewers with a big smile again on his face, "You can tell it's an aspen because of the way it is. Wow!" And then he just walks away as if he's perfectly explained everything we need to know about aspens. Mark, on the other hand, does a fantastic job of showing us far deeper and neater truths beyond the initial neatness of this passage. First, Mark tries to show us that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Mark doesn't have the Nicene Creed, but the authors of the Nicene Creed had Mark. Mark starts with his account off in chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then he goes on to give these astonishing details about what it means that Jesus is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit descends upon him and the Father affirms him at his baptism. He overcomes the temptations of Satan. He casts out demons, heals many sick people, forgives sins, teaches Scripture and the hope of the kingdom of God better than all of the religious leaders and teachers. He even says to a raging stormy sea, "Peace, be still." And the sea and the stormy winds obey. And this makes his disciples ask, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Mark asks you and me, who is Jesus, that even the wind and the sea obey him? God from God, light from light, true God from true God. St. Jerome, who did have the Nicene Creed, notices in verse 33 that the healed woman fell down before Jesus, and he writes, "She told him all the truth. Christ himself is the truth. She was giving praise to the truth. She had been healed by the truth. True God from true God." Or as Lenny might put it, you can tell Jesus is God because of the way he is. Wow! Another deep and important truth that we find in this passage is the teaching of salvation by faith alone. Sola fide. In verse 34, Jesus goes out of his way to explain to the woman who was healed and to the crowd, "Your faith has healed or saved you." It's the same Greek word. Not a magic touch, not a magician, not because she was so good and did so many good works, but her faith. "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Even though her faith was probably small and weak and needed to be corrected and strengthened by Jesus, she put her faith in Jesus, the great physician, and that was enough. The woman believed she needed to touch Jesus to be healed. Jairus believed Jesus needed to touch his daughter to save her. Jesus does compassionately take the girl's hand. But first he insists to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Have faith." Neither the woman nor the little girl nor Jairus asked for spiritual salvation, but it seems clear that they were all both healed and saved by faith. This passage of Mark is one of the places where we see the beautiful truth that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. If you're worried that your faith might be weak or imperfect, look at this woman who was healed and Jairus. Or perhaps even more helpful, look at the man in Mark 9:24, a few chapters later, who also comes to Jesus to have his son saved from an evil spirit. He cries out to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." Or perhaps the most helpful of all, if you're concerned about the weakness of your faith, look to Jesus, whose faith is perfect for you. As 2 Timothy 3:2-13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." So Mark gives us these neat save-the-day accounts, chock full of deep truths about who Jesus, the Son of God, is, and how he saves by faith alone. But there's one more very important and deep truth in this passage that we need to see. Despite all the neatness in this passage, it can also hit us with great sorrow and doubt. Why doesn't he heal and rescue every daughter? Why didn't he heal or rescue my daughter? This is perhaps one of the hardest questions for anyone to wrestle with. Here's one attempt from N.T. Wright. Just as Jesus wasn't coming to be a one-man liberation movement in the traditional revolutionary sense, this is what many of the Jewish people wanted and expected from at the time, so he wasn't coming to be a one-man emergency medical center. He was indeed starting revolution, and he was indeed bringing God's healing power, but his aim went deeper. These things were signs of the real revolution, the real healing that God was to accomplish through his death and resurrection. Signposts are important, but they aren't the destination. For that, we must read on. Historian Timothy George writes, "One of the lowest points of Luther's life, the great teacher of justification by faith alone, was when his beloved 14-year-old daughter, Magdalena, was stricken with the plague. Brokenhearted, he knelt beside her bed and begged God to release her from the pain. When she had died and the carpenters were nailing down the lid of her coffin, Luther screamed out, "Hammer away! On doomsday, she'll rise again." And what happens when we read on in Mark, as N.T. Wright suggests? We see Jesus scourged, who took away the woman's scourge. We see Jesus die, who shook death off of the little girl as if it were only sleep. But then we see him rise. And as Isaiah wrote, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Daughters and sons of God, hear the word of the Lord who loves you. Fear not, only have faith.